mai Waruatapu Haru Mai Ki Kone.
Morena, it's Karen and Elijah here. We're the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family of house churches with an oversight and shepherds community.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus. How do we do this? By practicing the way of Jesus as his church. This centers on a commitment to Jesus and one another with the practices of scripture, prayer, and community.
Scripture is the story of God. The practice is to know him, ourselves, and the world through the lens of Scripture.
Prayer is about the Spirit of God. The practice is to connect to, be formed by, and partner with the triune God, heart to heart, through awareness and surrender.
Community is about the people of God. The practice is to do these other two things in a committed community where we foster trust and freedom, learning to apprentice in spirit and truth in a real life environment. This is what Jesus means when he talks about loving one another as he has loved us.
Brilliant. Let's keep this in mind. Sorry, I got something in my eye.
Oh, no.
Let's keep this in mind as we dig into this week's
eyeball
video.
Gross. So reading about Jesus' journey to death has been a humbling one. The more I know Jesus, the more it hurts to read the way that human beings, just like us, treated our King, our God, our friend. And there sits the tension, humble thanksgiving, and real pain. And while reading this story and watching it all unfold, I felt the Spirit remind me of something that I think we all need reminding of often. When we see the way Jesus is, how he responds to those who mock him, how he doesn't go on the defensive or choose the easy way out. When we see this, we're seeing the Father. This is the exact representation of Father God in heaven. And I have a few verses to read of Jesus speaking to this. So John 5, 19 to 20, he's talking to the Jewish leaders who are asking him why he's healing on the Sabbath and stuff. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son, meaning himself, can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed."
Imagine if we did that. I wouldn't do anything.
I know.
Other than what the Father shows me.
Which, okay, side note. Talking a lot about apprenticeship, and we'll continue to talk a lot about that. So when we are focusing our life on being with Jesus, doing what he did and learning from him, we are learning from the Father God, because that's who he's learned from. It's pretty beautiful. And then John 14, 1 to 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's pretty beautiful. They are so together that they are one. Whatever we see Jesus doing, he has learnt from his Father. Whatever we see the Spirit doing or saying, that is Jesus. The Spirit of God is Jesus' Spirit. It's hard to grasp, but it's also essential. Their oneness is so profound, and then we get invited into that. Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a wee excerpt from this book. There's John Mark Comer talking about in Christ. Christ-likeness is the result of Christ in us. It's all grace. It's always been grace. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And us in Christ. In fact, in Christ is a phrase used all through the New Testament more than 80 times in Paul's letters alone. Theologians call this doctrine incorporation, being incorporated, integrated into the inner life of God himself through Christ. Jesus has come to draw us into God's inner life of love, loving. As the pastor Daryl Johnson put it in his book on the Trinity, to experience this is to be alive in the intimacy at the center of the universe. And as Jesus said in John 17, right before his death, I pray also for those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity.
Mm.
Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And this is spiritual formation, the process of being formed into a person of self-giving love through deepening surrender to and union with the Trinity, God, Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit.
That is something we should meditate on.
Yeah.
And you may not feel like it. You may not see it in your life. It may not come out of your emotions. You may feel like you're just at the beginning. That doesn't make it any less true. Because when we come to Jesus, we don't come on our terms.
Mm.
We come on his terms. That is what an apprentice is.
Mm.
Remind yourself of that. Yeah? And I'll do the same. So we've been going through Matthew 27, and as we sit with these passages over the weeks leading up to the remembrance of Christ at Easter, it's such a powerful, prayerful act. It's powerful because it invites the Spirit of the one true God who is active and present. You may not feel he is active and present, but Scripture and the Spirit says, testifies to our spirit that he is active and present in this world. And it reminds us and invites us, to invite him to be active and present in our hearts, mm-hmm. in our families, in our communities. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how we approach Scripture. Have you noticed at times we can have preloaded judgments towards Jesus as we read the Gospels? We tend to have a pile of things we've picked up over the years that we, if we're not careful, and even if we are, tend to superimpose over the narrative of Jesus. I have lots of people say things like, oh, Jesus was angry. And I'm like, that doesn't say that at all. You've made up something and just put it on there. It doesn't say that. And we tend to do that. We tend to read things. And I think sometimes that happens because we're just trying to get it, understand it. And I think there's another way to read the Bible. I invite us to remember as we read that there is a God who is invested in healing us and reforming us to be the people we were designed to be.
Mm.
That his Holy Spirit is present and willing. The same Spirit that was present and active in the Scripture we read, in the story we're reading, is also present and active right now in us and with us. Let's approach Scripture with an attitude of consenting to the work of Jesus to form us. How do we do this? Ask him to form you before you read. Make a decision of the heart. We've got to learn to start with God and then move to us. It can be so easy for us to start with ourselves. So we have all these views and we just assume they're right. And then we go towards Scripture and we go, oh, well, gee, I don't really like that bit of Jesus. And this is kind of weird here and I don't really get that. When we're doing this, we think we're being critical thinkers, but we're in fact starting with us and then considering God. But God calls us to do the other way around. Jesus is in us. We are in him. We have nothing to earn but a partnership to engage in. We must avoid reading Scripture like something we have to do better at and rather see it as a story Jesus is leading us through.
Mm.
Consider, Jesus, what do you want to heal in me as I read? What do you want to address in my heart as I sit here? What are we doing together, me and God, and then us and God? What are we doing together, God, as we go about today? So back to scripture and prayer. I think it's really good for those of us who feel a lot of responses and a lot of emotions as we read scripture to be honest before God, honest about how we feel and what we think. We tend to either ignore feelings or let them run the show. They aren't good for either of those things. Have you noticed? They are designed by God as tools, as indicators. So be honest and be humble. Actively invite Jesus into these feelings and these thoughts. When you feel upset, when you feel angry, when you feel unjust, when you feel depressed, when you feel sorrowful, when you feel excited, invite him in. When you feel lustful, when you feel greedy, invite him in. Invite him in because he's there already, but he's waiting for you to invite him in. The invitation reminds us, because he's already there, but the invitation reminds us that he's there. Mm. He reminds us, and our awareness of his presence changes our perspective. Mm. Our awareness of the presence of God is like the key hinge of our formation. That's what prayer is, essentially, to be aware that God is in me and with me, and he's Lord. So he gets to decide, and he gets to choose, and he gets to form. And I say, yes, Lord, I trust you more than I trust my own life. When we come to the Bible, first we ask, what does this passage show me about who Jesus is? What is the present and active Spirit of God wanting to show me or us as we read? Then, secondly, how does this show me how Jesus treats me or us? Mm-hmm. And thirdly, how am I invited to respond? Which, if we're honest, always leads us to noticing two things. One, that I'm unable to do this alone. I'm inadequate. Mm-hmm. And two, that Jesus never meant for me to do this alone. He's asking for me to let his Holy Spirit work in me. Even the works God has called us to are not solo missions. Jesus makes this so clear, and yet we twist it and we believe a lie about the gospel often. The truth is, we are in him. He is in us. Everything we do as those who have responded to Jesus is a partnership. We must stop seeing our lives as something that is apart from God.
Mm.
Like as in, I'm here and he's there. This is not the story God is telling. Mm. Jesus is with you. Jesus is in you. It's his trust in the Father that we have received by his holy good Spirit in our hearts. Let him be teacher. Mm. Let him be healer. Let him be Lord. Let us make ourselves aware of the one who loves us most.
Mm. Well, thank you. questions for this week. Tahi, how is Jesus revealing himself to us in these passages?
Arua, how do we make ourselves aware of the active and present Spirit of God that is in us?
And Toru, where is Jesus wanting to bring healing to your heart at the moment?
Let's always do this. Let's take some time to consider our money and treasures before God, because we know where our treasure is, there our heart is also. So Lord Jesus, speak to us, Lord. I just thank you for the tithes and offerings, the regular giving given, so that we may, just honor you and do the work you've called us to do. And I pray you be speaking to those that maybe don't tithe and regularly give to consider that. And Lord, we just trust you with all these things beyond you now, all the other things we give to and we need to pay for and all the other things. We ask for your hand, your provision, and we thank you that you are present and active with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you want to contact us, get baptized, get involved in a neighborhood church, start giving financially, want to start a neighborhood church, or just have questions, you can go to unitechurch.org.nz.
We've got Kids Bible Club on Mondays, 3:30 to 5 p.m. at the Unite Hall for children that are primary school aged.
And City Youth on Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Our next all-in gathering is next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, at the Unite Hall.
Awesome. That's so good. And just as we finish, let's just take a moment. Take a deep breath and remember, the Spirit of God is with us. He's merciful, he is gracious, he is powerful, he is the one true God, and he is here with us. Let his spirit speak to yours. Awesome. We're praying for you in the love of Jesus. Aroha nui.
Bye.